have the best intentions in planning a holiday gathering, but it can result in bouts of anxiety and lots of different worries. According to an NPR PBS NewsHour poll, nearly 6 in 10 people celebrating Thanksgiving say they're dreading having to talk politics around the dinner table. Dr. Gina Newsom-Duncan is an adult psychiatrist in private practice at Eastover Psychological and Psychiatric Group in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dr. Newsom-Duncan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Are we making too much of political conversations in the company of family? Does it really cause that much stress?
I think that there are some families for whom political debate is kind of their, what they enjoy doing. But I think for a lot of families, it is stressful, especially if there are differing opinions. If you have some family members that feel one way and others that feel a different way, I think absolutely it can be a very stressful situation.
Well, if debate is a hallmark of a family gathering, why even go there in the first place?
Well, if you are in a family where that is the way that you all connect and you have lively debates and it's, at the end of the day, there are no hard feelings, but you all enjoy talking, then that's fine. But I would agree that if going there is going to be very stressful for all involved, it's probably best to steer the conversation to things that everybody can agree on and that bring you together rather than divide you.
Well, how do you steer the conversation away from politics when there's a lot of pressure around the table, perhaps one person in particular who keeps bringing it back?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. What I would recommend, first of all, if you really anticipate that this is going to be the kind of conversation that's happening around the table, and it's hard. Talking about world events and what's going on in the country is something that, is this kind of general conversation you expect to happen. But if you know that your family has a difference of opinion or that there's one person in particular that's likely to, really take the conversation to a place that's stressful, you might want to be proactive in the beginning and just say, hey, guys, I know that we don't all have the same opinion, and I really would like for us this Thanksgiving to be able to focus on things that we agree on, that we can enjoy, that we can come together on. And so I'm going to ask if we could just avoid the political discussion. Ideally, in an ideal situation, the family member would understand and respect that. If they don't, however, you might want to come back and say, hey, guys, again, I said that I really want us to be able to focus on things that bring us together. This is Thanksgiving. This is an opportunity for us to be together, enjoying each other's presence. And when we're having this conversation, it's stressful for me. It doesn't, it makes it hard for me to enjoy the purpose of this day, which is us being together. And if you all want to have this discussion, I'm just going to excuse myself. And if you guys want to continue on, you can. But so being upfront with your feelings and kind of making it clear, again, I recommend being proactive, especially if you are pretty sure that that's going to come up and be an issue for you.
Some people's approach is to let the person just talk it through and kind of smile and nod, perhaps internalizing what they are saying, but not responding to it. What about that approach? Pros and cons?
I think that that's also a great approach. If you are, if you, being proactive and kind of thinking it through ahead of time, I think is the best way to approach it. If you are the kind of person who feels less comfortable being upfront about, the way that you feel and the example that I gave before, smiling and nodding or maybe taking that opportunity to get up and help wash the dishes or something like that is certainly another way that you can approach it. And you might want to have some prepared mantras or something that you say to yourself that, this is okay, I'm going to be okay, and I understand that this is the way that he thinks or she thinks, it's okay. I'm just going to let them talk and don't allow yourself to get, to get drawn in to either verbally, a back and forth, or even internally get drawn into a lot of frustration. It's challenging because politics are something that most of us do care. There are issues that we care very deeply about, and when we're interacting with someone, especially a loved one, that has very different opinions than we do, that can be stressful. But so continuing to, smile and nod and remind yourself that it's okay, this is just, I'll let them speak, and we'll shift the conversation when the opportunity arises.
Dr. Gina Newsom-Duncan is with us. She is a psychiatrist, and we're talking about stresses this holiday season and how to get through those stresses. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. How do you keep your cool during the holiday season? Do you have a mantra that you tell yourself when things do go awry around the Thanksgiving Day table? Perhaps you do more dishes. Maybe you retreat to the kitchen. How do you take those stresses in stride? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. There's plenty more to get worked up about during the holiday season. A lot of people are already up and cooking up a storm this morning, trying to make sure the house is all ready for when the guests arrive. Would you say to people who might be feeling overwhelmed, where do you start? What would you tell them?
I think that one of the first things is to kind of center yourself around the idea that Thanksgiving is about coming together and giving thanks, being appreciative of the things that we have. And I think that, unfortunately, our sense of the holidays over, the decades has kind of grown to this idea that everything has to be perfect. And we end up focusing on making things or trying to make things perfect to the point that we almost lose sight of what the holiday is about in the first place. So I would suggest anybody that's, already up and cooking or preparing the house or doing other things, that just taking a moment to take some deep breaths and centering themselves, taking a moment of meditation, it is important to start the day in that way. For everybody, the holiday may mean something different, but for most of us, it really is about a time to be together with family and friends, to be thankful for those things that we have. And the emphasis, or removing the emphasis from everything being perfect, I think is an important way to start the day.
But that's so hard. It looks so perfect on social media. I mean, one word for you, Instagram. The pictures are gorgeous. I want that, right?
Yes, we all do. We all do. And it's very, it can be very difficult. I think that probably most of us know that the things that are posted on social media, people don't post the worst on social media. They always post the best. But the fact that, and a picture only tells you a little bit. You don't know what else may be going on behind that picture or going on in that scene. And you have to keep in mind that some people post on social media as a way of making themselves feel better. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it is a slippery slope if you are always looking to social media as a way of kind of giving you cues on what you should be doing and how you should be feeling and how your table should look and what your family should look like and those sorts of things. If you find that whenever you open up your social media, your Facebook or Instagram or whatever, that you find yourself comparing yourself and always coming out on the short end and feeling as though you're not living up or that you feel badly in comparison, I would suggest maybe turning off the social media for today and focusing on yourself and your family and your holiday and kind of thinking about what it is that you value rather than focusing on what everybody else is doing.
And then that's a very difficult thing to do when a lot of people are checking in to their social media quite often, and just breaking that for a day can be a pretty drastic change.
It can. And if you think that it's going to be really difficult for you to just turn it off for the, you know, for the day, it may be giving yourself a time limit. You know, I'll check it a little bit later. You know, give myself 5 or 10 minutes. But I do think that if you're trying to go into the day feeling your best and being in the moment, it's hard to do that if you are really not in the moment because you're thinking about what others are doing. Now, I also understand that people use social media as a way of staying in touch with family and friends that aren't with them. And so, you know, certainly using your social media to be able to share with others and your family, your friends, what you're doing today is perfectly fine. But again, if you feel like inside you get this sinking feeling of anxiety or dread.
And we have to pause right here. We have a break for the news, talking with Dr. Gina Newsom-Duncan. Join in 800-642-1234. Holiday stress. The holiday season brings with it a mix of joy and stress for workers. 51% say they're more cheerful at work this time of year, but 35% feel more work-related pressure. That's according to a recent survey by the finance staffing firm Accountemps. More than 2,700 workers were surveyed to find out which of 27 cities have the happiest employees and which have the most stressed employees during the holidays. San Francisco came out on top. Philadelphia rounded out the bottom. Adult psychiatrist Gina Newsom-Duncan is here to field questions about stress and the holiday season at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about coping with stress? How do you manage and juggle the competing pressures? 800-642-1234. Anna called in and couldn't stay with us. She says she's struggled with an eating disorder for years and says Thanksgiving is a horribly stressful time for people like her. What is your advice for people like her and for the people who love them?
Yeah, well, Anna, thank you for the call, and I definitely hear where you're coming from and applaud you for your efforts to go into recovery and to stay in recovery. I think that, you know, Thanksgiving is a challenging time. These holidays are challenging for anybody that's trying to watch their weight or watch their diet, but particularly for somebody who has had or has an eating disorder. I think that in the situation of an eating disorder, whether it's anorexia or bulimia or binge eating disorder, knowing those things that trigger you is important, and avoiding triggers. Ideally, if you're in a situation where you have a family member or a friend who knows your past struggles, they can be an ally for you on this day so that they can help you as you try to either set limits around what you eat if you have, for example, a binge eating disorder, or if you have a history of anorexia or bulimia where you are avoidant of food and you're trying to make sure that you're eating enough, they can help you do that as well. I think that picking foods that are that you may consider to be safe and that are not overly triggering for you is important as well. It's important too, just as a final note, if you have an eating disorder and feel that you're still struggling with it, that you're working with a therapist or counselor or psychiatrist that can help you to continue staying on your path to recovery.
Because with so many holiday gatherings and also there's food in the office every day, you can have food all around you. And perhaps people with eating disorders are really struggling this time of year.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. I know patients that I work with who have binge eating disorder find that these are really triggering times because they, begin overeating. They may be really trying to restrain themselves. And those that have anorexia are focused on the number of calories that they're taking in and really trying to overly restrict themselves. And it's really hard when you've got the temptations there. I think that one of the most important things is to not, especially for those that have binge eating problems or are trying to be on a diet, is to not be so harsh on yourself. It's very hard there are going to be temptations, and so don't beat up on yourself for being tempted. Find some ways to put some limits around what you're eating. It may mean excusing yourself from a gathering earlier, or if you're in the office and there are lots of candies and other things that people are bringing in, treats that they're bringing into the break room, you know, maybe limiting your time there. But the final thing is that if you're striving to be healthy 364 days of the year, this one day, should not throw you totally off track. And if you end up eating more than you intended to, then plan tomorrow to try to get back on the wagon.
In a piece you were quoted in on the American Psychological Association's website, you say we need to accept right up front that things aren't going to be perfect over the holidays. Maybe we don't give or receive the perfect gifts, or the kids aren't behaving. How do we set healthy expectations?
You know, I think that's one of the most challenging things for all of us. And I was just having a conversation with a patient in my office yesterday about this. But I think that starting fundamentally with the idea that nobody is perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Nobody is perfect. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that we cannot control what other people do. There are limits to what we can do to make things be the way we want them to be. We can strive to create or cultivate, if you're hosting, for example, cultivate an atmosphere of warmth and hospitality. You can do your best to prepare a nice meal and make people feel welcome, but you can't, in the end, make them have a great holiday. And the harder you try to do that, the more emphasis you place on making that happen, paradoxically, you're much less likely to enjoy it, and there's tension and stress, and other people pick up on that as well. So I think that just accepting the idea that things are not perfect, but they can be really nice and enjoyable, and so shifting that, and maybe that's a mantra that you make for yourself, and you just remind yourself, I'm not perfect, I can't make things be perfect, I'm going to do the best that I can.
You also recommend that we avoid overspending. How big of an issue is financial stress this time of year?
I think it's huge. With Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is not a holiday where we typically do a lot of gift exchange, but people can may find themselves going overboard with the
Black
amount
Friday.
Of food that they're purchasing. Exactly, and Black Friday is coming up tomorrow. I think that setting a budget is probably the most important thing that you can do, and then sticking with it. I mean, there are lots of different financial programs. I'm not a financial advisor, but I do think that there's a lot of validity in truth in planning to set a budget ahead of time. And if you can't pay for something up front, if you don't have it saved up, then really reconsidering before you pull out the credit cards. And it's so hard, though, because, I mean, we're enticed constantly this time of year by what we see on TV and social media, advertisements and sales and that sort of thing. But I think that keeping in mind, how am I going to feel in January and February when those credit card bills come due? That hopefully helps to temper some of the overspending. And again, I think it also goes back to the notion of perfect. I need to buy the things on Black Friday so that I can have the perfect Christmas or perfect, holiday next month. The expectations that friends or family may have for me is that I'm going to give them the perfect gift. If you can re-examine those expectations, that can also greatly help you to be more reasonable with your budget.
But at the same token, your guests have expectations for a nice meal on Thanksgiving, but a nice meal costs. It can cost a lot.
Yeah, most definitely. And so, I think that as far as a meal goes, I think that probably in a lot of households, there is, people bring food to share at Thanksgiving. If you're hosting, certainly you want to provide a really nice meal. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with splurging on a day like today. But if you're really struggling, I think that it is certainly appropriate to talk with your friends or family members about kind of going in together to make this meal happen so that there's not just the expectation that you're going to do it all. And I think that's really important.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Gina Newsom-Duncan is here. She is a psychiatrist in private practice, and we're talking about holiday stresses this hour and how to navigate the holidays with a healthy mind, healthy body. 800-642-1234. Do you dread having to talk politics, perhaps, around the table later today? What do you do to keep your cool under the stress of the holidays? What else stresses you out about the holidays, and how do you manage those stresses? 800-642-1234. You can join in with your questions about coping. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. So between work and family get-togethers, holiday parties, the shopping, the calendar can get really pretty full quite quickly. You suggest we learn how to say no, which is not necessarily an easy word. So why should we limit our commitments, first of all?
Well, we should limit our commitments if we feel overwhelmed and stressed by them. I think that's the most important thing to say here. There are some of us really enjoy and love the holiday parties and the office gatherings and get-togethers, going over to other people's houses, having them over to our house. And if you thrive on that, then by all means do that. That's how you enjoy your holiday. If you, however, find yourself dreading the commitments, dreading gatherings, and you feel overwhelmed and stressed, and you feel like you're going to pull your hair out by the end of the holiday season, then, and you know that every year this is how you end up feeling, then I think it really is reasonable to stop and take a look at what all you have on your calendar and see where you could potentially cut some things out. There may be certain gatherings or get-togethers that can't be avoided, the office party, for example, or a family gatherings. But there may be some other things that you've put on your plate that really aren't essential. And so I would start there. It may be that everything on your plate is, to someone else, considered something that you must do. And in that case, it really is important to take a real good look at it and say, well, what is important to me? It is okay to set boundaries, and it's healthy to set boundaries and to say, I know that this means a lot to these other people in my life, but this really stresses me and taxes me, and I can't do it all. And if that's the case, you may need to politely decline and maybe even give your reasons for that. But you definitely have to take care of yourself. You're not good to anyone else if you're stressed and pulling your hair out.
Dr. Newsom-Duncan, on the other end of the spectrum, loneliness can be stressful, not having anywhere to go. What about loneliness this time of year?
Yeah, no, that's a great question as well. Well, I would say that this is where we talked earlier about social media, but this is where social media can be a very positive thing. If it allows you to connect with friends or family members, let's say you're in another city or state, very far away from close friends or family members, being able to connect with other people, or friends and family through social media, through Skype or FaceTime, can be really a way of still kind of being connected. For those who do not have a lot of friends or family connections, one way of dealing with loneliness could be to serve and to volunteer your time to do something that enables you to give back to other people, whether it's at a soup kitchen or some other charitable organization. That can be a way of getting out and giving back and interacting with other people so that you're not just focusing on your own kind of loneliness, but also doing something that is meaningful and helpful for someone else and that allows you to meet other people. There are also, you know, a lot of meetups and things that may be going on in your area. You're certainly not alone if that is your situation. And there are things that you can find in your area that could allow you to reach out to other people who may be in a similar situation.
I just came across an email this morning in my inbox saying that just taking 5 minutes can really reframe your mind, going for a walk outside or 5 minutes of meditation. Sometimes, is it true that just even a short amount of time can really cause you to lower your stress level?
Oh, most definitely. My husband and I recently started going to a yoga class, and one of the things that our yoga instructor says each time we go to the class is that, you know, yoga is not something you go and do. It is something that every time you're breathing, just the act of breathing and paying attention to your breath, you are doing yoga. And I really like that because I think we have this idea that in order to do something like meditation or exercise, it involves us, you know, cutting out a big chunk of time to go somewhere and do this relaxing or healthy activity. But actually, just taking a few minutes to center yourself, close your eyes, and be aware or mindful of your breath for even 30 seconds can really have a big impact. It helps you to lower your heart rate, helps you to get refocused on what's right here in the present rather than what is to come. Taking a walk is another, certainly another great way of doing that. Anything that we do that gets us physically engaged helps us to center our minds. And if we are, by taking deep breaths and getting our bodies engaged, that definitely can help us to reframe things. There is a website called innerhealthstudios.com that I will often recommend to patients because they have on their website a number of different guided meditations and relaxation exercises. You could pull it up on your phone or on YouTube. And there are a lot of other great apps as well. Headspace is one that's a really great app that, if you don't know how to do a mindfulness exercise, you could pull one of those up and take a few minutes to do that. I think it makes a big difference.
And some families have a post-Thanksgiving meal tradition of taking a walk together.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's something that we have done in my family as well. I think that it helps to facilitate togetherness. It certainly gets you up and moving and can help also if you feel guilty about the amount that you've eaten. Knowing that you're doing something healthy and exercising is great as well.
The dishes can sit there. Nothing's going to happen to them. They'll be there. No worries, right?
And you don't
have to immediately go to the kitchen and do dishes. That you can take a breath. Is that right?
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. Like you said, the dishes aren't going anywhere. They will be there when you come back. But as I said earlier, really reminding yourself what this day is about is important. So that time that you're spending together, taking a walk or having, you know, a nice conversation, enjoying each other's company, that's more important than the dishes.
7 in 10 adults agree it's not a proper Thanksgiving meal unless you celebrate with family. And over 6 in 10 Americans say they prepare Thanksgiving meals with family. That's according to the most recent Harris poll. But requests to pass the gravy can quickly escalate into spirited debates over tax reform, immigration reform, to name just a couple topics. Dr. Gina Newsom Duncan is a psychiatrist in practice at Eastover Psychological and Psychiatric Group in North Carolina. She's helping us navigate the stress of the season. Your questions on coping at 800-642-1234. What do you do to keep your cool? What outlets do you turn to when you feel the holiday stress coming on? 800-642-1234. We'll return after a news update. Oh, recent Associated Press survey found that more than a third of respondents dread the idea of politics coming up over Thanksgiving, compared with just 2 in 10 who say they're eager to discuss it. In addition, Democrats are slightly more likely than Republicans to say they feel uneasy about such discussions, and women are more likely than men to dread political conversations. The holiday conversations are just one aspect of stress cropping up this time of year. We're learning how to manage it with psychiatrist Gina Newsom-Duncan. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about holiday stress? What signs do you see in yourself and others close to you indicating this is a difficult time? How do you reach out to those who feel really stressed? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Francisco in Sister Bay. Hi, Francisco.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Francisco Camacho. I have a doctorate in just about every field you can shake a stick of. And one of the things to release stress is with poetry, and I can recite one poem that would be that I used to teach to my sixth graders, and they used to go home and they reported very good results in relieving the stress. Brave and no, in Puritan New England, a year had passed away since first upon the Plymouth Rock the English Mayflower lay. When Bradford, the good governor, sent fowlers out to snare the turkey and the wildfowl to increase the scanty fare, our husbandry hath prospered. There's grain enough for food, though the corn be green and indifferent and the wheat scarcely good. Thank you very much.
Oh, Francisco, thank you so much. Dr. Newsom-Duncan, how about poetry?
Oh, I think that's wonderful, a wonderful example of a way to deal with stress and to channel, channel your creativity. Thank you, Francisco, for the call and for that example. I think that's wonderful. Journaling, poetry, song, anything that's creative is another real wonderful way of taking stressful feelings and turning them into something that's positive. Also, poetry helps us to kind of, you know, come back to the heart of what we're celebrating or what we want to be celebrating and to ground us. So I think that's a wonderful idea.
But making a holiday toast before the meal, perhaps a prayer, that can also come with stresses. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, do you mean in terms of
you're at the head of the table at the Thanksgiving meal. Perhaps you have people of all faiths coming a gathering, or you're expected to say some words before the Thanksgiving meal. What do you, you know, that is also a stress of what you do, what you say.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I would say in the first instance that you mentioned, if you have people of multiple faiths who are gathered, then taking a moment of silence or giving some words of thanks that are not specific to one particular religion is probably the best way to go if you're concerned about making sure that everybody feels comfortable. If you are expected to make a toast or you know, people are looking to you to give a great, wonderful speech before the meal, and that is something that you don't feel as comfortable with, then, you know, maybe just saying a few words and then inviting everyone else to share what they're thankful for. Maybe go around, well, let's go around the table and we'll each say one thing we're thankful for. That takes some of the pressure off of you and gets everybody else involved as well.
The holidays can also be a especially painful time when we've lost loved ones. How can we keep from being really down and lonely and having those feelings crop up?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the greatest challenges that people, many people face during the holiday time. And I think that one of the best ways to address that, first of all, is to be kind to yourself. And if you have recently lost a loved one, or even if it's been many years, the holidays are likely going to be a time where you're going to be remembering them and have some feelings of pain or loss. It's okay to feel that way. You can allow yourself the moment to feel the grief. But it's also important to reframe and think about, focus on the things that you have in your life currently, the things that you are thankful for. It may be reminding yourself of the time that you had with that loved one and the ways in which they enriched your life, thinking about how they would want you to feel today and during the holiday season is important. And connecting with other friends or family members who also knew and loved that person is important as well, so that you know you're not alone in your grief and alone in missing that person. And then finally, if there's some ways that you can honor that person, for example, in my family, we've lost my father's mother some years ago, and my cousins and my sister and I make it a point every Thanksgiving and at Christmas time to make the dishes that she made, so that she's a part of our, still a part of our tradition. So there are ways that you can honor your family member by bringing them into the tradition and speaking about them during the meal. I think all of those are ways that you can help to adjust to the loss.
There's also the loss of a child, which can also be an incredibly emotional time around the holidays. What about in terms of a loss of a child?
Yeah, and I think that first of all, for anyone who has experienced that or is going through that, my heart and my prayers go out to them. I think that is an incredibly difficult experience for anyone to go through. Connecting with other people who have had a similar loss, I think, is a very important place to start. Hopefully, if someone has gone through the loss of a child, no matter how old their child was, if there are some grief groups or other support services, hopefully they've already taken advantage of connecting with an organization. There are many churches and other religious organizations that offer grief support groups. If you have not done so, then this might be a good time to go ahead and look into the resources in your area. Connecting with a therapist as well can be a really important way of helping yourself through this time period. I think the other thing, as I said just a moment ago about having lost another loved one, finding ways that you can honor your child and keep their memory alive and in whatever way feels the most appropriate and helpful and healing for you and your family.
There's also tension that occurs between spouses during the holidays, perhaps spouses who feel they're carrying an unequal burden in putting a holiday meal together. How do you address, tension in your spouse and marriages?
So I think that one of the things that I would recommend is that although holiday times can be watershed moments because there's so much going on in a short period of time, and this can be the time where you're likely to have an argument or you want to hash things out, I would really recommend not doing that. A technique that I recommend to patients in my practice is flagging stuff, saying, I'm going to make a mental flag of this. I feel like we have this uneven distribution of who's doing the work in the house and preparing for this holiday. And even though it bothers you, today is probably not going to be the day to hash that out. You could maybe have that conversation tomorrow or maybe on the day after. Writing down in the meantime what it is that bothers you, or if you have a voice memo feature on your phone, taking out your phone and going somewhere for a few minutes by yourself and kind of talking it out is important. It doesn't mean that you don't need to address the issues. You definitely will need to address those going forward. But particularly if you have family and friends coming over, you could have additional anxiety and stress about the idea that you all are having this tension between you. So taking a moment to acknowledge that you're feeling frustrated and making an agreement to come back to the conversation maybe tomorrow or the day after is what I would recommend.
Wow, a voice memo feature on your phone, going to perhaps a bathroom or somewhere where you can be alone and just putting those feelings down in your words. That's an interesting tip I've never heard of.
Yeah, I find those voice memos very helpful. And I mean, if you feel comfortable, you could always also pull that back out and play it for your spouse later if you feel like it's hard to, hard to enter into a conversation without them immediately getting defensive. But there's something about talking things out. Obviously, I'm a therapist, so I really value talking, and there's definitely a benefit in processing. You can process even on your own by talking your feelings out. And for some people, it's journaling and writing, and others, especially in this busy day and age, sometimes it's hard to set aside the time to journal. But if you have a few minutes by yourself,